The NFL draft, well, that's not until the end of April. However, the Jags don't have a first-round pick, at least for now. So let's talk about fantasy football then. Joseph Camus joins us from thefantasyfootballcounselor.com. Joe, how are you?
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited in the offseason. We've got the draft coming up. Lots to look forward to, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Glad we're able to talk fantasy. I'm glad I'm able to talk just sports anytime on this station. Anytime I have that chance, I'm like, yes, please. First off, just because like you've been doing this for quite some time, I've been playing since at least the mid-2000s. It's crazy to see how this game has just blown up over the years. What do you think the reason is for that?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff. It really just brings people together. So like, it's the element of, you know, people playing together, families, friends. It's the social interaction of it. And you've got social media that just amplifies everything. So when a player doesn't do well, you know, you're on there chirping at the player, say, oh, you know, you had a crappy game or whatever. And that player retweets it. Like, I don't care about your fantasy team. It completely magnifies the whole situation. There's a lot of elements that make this thing big and fun though.
I feel like before, if you were to just play in like two leagues, you'd be like, okay, you might need to seek help. But it feels like every other person's at least in like three leagues. And we're every Sunday we do like this weird justification where it's like, oh, I've got Trevor Lawrence. I need him to throw for 400, but he can't go for 450 because I have him going up against him in another league or like something along those lines.
Yeah, you got to watch that. You don't want to be in too many leagues, right? Because then you're going to get upset with certain teams. Like, you got one player on one team, and then he's not playing on the other team, and you're kind of cheering for him, and then you're not. You know, the old saying, you chase two rabbits, you catch none. You want to focus more on the teams that you have. So kind of keep them limited. One, two, three max. Other than that, it starts getting a little crazy.
All right. Now, we talked about a bunch of craziness. We remember the championship wins, obviously, but what is the worst loss you've had in fantasy where like you've either had a lead going into Monday night and it got blown by some stupid play or something along those lines, and it just made you go, oh, what the heck?
Oh, yeah. We're talking a couple years ago. Crazy story. I was in the playoffs, fantasy football playoffs, and I think Keenan Allen was playing with Justin Herbert, and I think they had won that game, I think, and it was just garbage time points, and literally, like, the game was over, and they didn't need those points, but Justin Herbert threw to Keenan Allen, and it really just messed my fantasy team up with that extra half point, whatever he got. It was a half point PPR, whatever it was, and he caught the ball. I lost by less than a point or something ridiculous like that. I was so upset. I think I threw something at the TV.
That happened to me this past season with the Week one, that was the precursor to how my fantasy year was going to be, where I lost 2 points because of the, quote, DJ Moore fumble at the end of Monday night when he lateraled it back and it didn't get recovered. And so it's just like, ah, great. And that should have been a precursor. That's one of the bad ones. And also the infamous, the 6th field goal game by Neil Rackers. I was up like 16 points, and all of a sudden this kicker just started going off. I hated it. Anyway, let's go actually to talk about fantasy football. Who are you looking at right now as your sleeper pick for this year?
Oh man, why don't we talk Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Because I know you guys are fans there. Brian Thomas Jr., listen, he had a great rookie year, which I was on top of that. I was like, listen, you got to get Brian Thomas's rookie year situation look good. And I said, do not draft next year because we knew a sophomore regression was happening. This year, I'm back on him. There's rumors that there might be a trade at the time of this discussion here. But if he stays on Jacksonville, I don't see any reason why he doesn't emerge as the wide receiver one again and bounce back. So he's good value right now. Brian Thomas Jr. and even Tutin as well, your running back at the time of this recording. Now, with the draft, I could see them probably adding somebody else or maybe another running back in free agency. But Tutin and Brian Thomas right now, great sleepers, man.
Where would you say you would draft? Like, Bashaul Tutin, I think, is the bigger question mark just because right now he is the one, unless, like you said, they draft somebody. How far would you say at the minimum be like, yeah, I could draft him at this point, and I don't think I'm reaching too much?
I got to look at the average draft position. I don't have him in front of me, but right now I'm just going to guess here that if he stays the RB1, meaning they don't bring anybody else in, I would imagine he's going to come off like rounds 3 to 5, like average draft position. So if he's sitting as your RB1 on that team, which I don't think he will, but if he is, then yeah, you want to scoop him up in rounds 3 to 5. If not, he's going to fall later, depending on who else they bring in. And even Brian Thomas is going to fall, you know, round outside the round 3 to 4. You know, again, based on regression last year.
Now, obviously, there's players that you want to get. Who's somebody right now at the top of your list you're like, absolutely will not draft this guy no matter what?
Who I will not draft? Oh, man, there's a lot of players I'm really avoiding. And one thing you have to look at is players coming off big pinnacle years. And people might get upset about this, but Christian McCaffrey... Christian McCaffrey is a hard no for me because there's already talk about his role being reduced this year, according to coaching staff. And, you know, coming off that pinnacle year, and he's always had 1 year on, 1 year off, and he's going to be so expensive. Like, why would I invest in a guy that, you know, third, fourth, fifth overall, you know, first round when I know a regression is going to happen and a reduced workload?
And I know that as soon as I draft him this year, he's going to go back to the injury. Like I had the chance to draft him last year and I didn't. Cause like, he's just going to get hurt. He always gets hurt. Sure enough, it's the healthiest he's ever been because again, my luck. So if I draft him this year, I'll let them know. I'll send out a push alert or something just to be like, oh, hey, he's drafting him. Yeah, he's going to get hurt by week 4. So let's say hypothetically you have a pick in the top 3. I'm you know, not that I'm speaking from experience or anything. Maybe you're the 3rd overall pick. I don't know. Who would you recommend?
Well, you have to go running back. So here's the thing, right? We saw value with receivers. We always see value with receivers. And even Jefferson last year, who was a top 5 receiver, just didn't do well. I find that they're diluting the wide receiver volume. Yeah, I think you got to go running back. I like Jahmyr Gibbs a lot this year. Montgomery is now shipped off. They bring in Pacheco, who I don't think is as good as Montgomery. I think Gibbs is absolutely going to go off this year, barring any injury, right? Mm-hmm. I think Gibbs or Bijan Robinson is always a good pick. You've got to go workhorse running back because it's such a scarce position where the workhorse is kind of going the way of the dinosaur now with these committees.
What is your draft strategy usually? Like, do you focus a lot more on running backs or are you somebody that just kind of like plays aggressive? I'll get the quarterback at like round 3 or something like that.
Well, I think it's important to get that ace quarterback like a Josh Allen that has that rushing upside early because you anchor your team as a staple with a staple that you're going to get those secure points. So if I get Allen in 3, I will, but you definitely want a top heavy running back. I'm so adamant about pushing those running backs with minimal committees that are set to get a lot of volume. That's so important. And then you could go some wild card receivers later and hit some home runs. Like a couple of years ago, Brian Thomas Jr. and Ladd McConkey, I drafted both those guys round 7 to 9 and they went off. So it's about getting the value at wide receiver mid to late rounds and stacking that scarce position running back early.
What about tight ends? If it's like Trey McBride goes off the board at 2, which you usually see him go off usually that early, when is it probably a good time to go pick up your tight end?
See, I tend to wait on those guys. I'll give you an example. Like Sam Laporta, the year he came out, like his rookie year, I got him for a value. Last year, Tyler Warren, I got him for a value. So I kind of scout the rookies. I'm like, hey, where's that rookie coming in? How good is his talent? Where is he going to land? For example, this year, Kenyon Sadiq, top prospect, fast twitch muscle, strong, can run routes pretty well. Sadiq is sitting as like tight end 30 right now. Wherever he lands, I might be grabbing him later, mid to late rounds, because he's off people's radar. So look for the value tight end mid to late rounds if you can. That's a position I tend to wait on and kind of, I would say, gamble on. So yeah, that's what I do with tight end.
What do you think of like dynasty leagues where like, are you more of a fan of those or do you just prefer like PPR style leagues?
So there's, you know, for those who don't know, there's redraft leagues where you kind of draft a fresh team every year and then you basically dump all your players. You start again, you draft a fresh team. Dynasty people, you know, you keep that team. I like dynasty because you have that investment in your team. You draft that player and you keep them year in, year out, and there's minimal turnover. But I also like redraft. I do a little bit of both. I'm in one dynasty league, and I tend to do 2 to 3 money, big high-stakes leagues in redraft.
Yeah, I'm in a dynasty league now, and it's one of those where, like, right now we just draft rookies. We only go with like 4 rounds, and we just go through the rookie section. And I feel like that's always the more difficult part because, like, other than like maybe the top three, you're like, all right, who am I going to get here? Because you're going to get like some random like fifth rounder who's going to get, you know, peeking through the cracks, or like somebody you've never even heard of, some undrafted guy.
Yeah, like drafts are not as fun in Dynasty. That's why I like redraft a little bit more, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, the rookies are always a big dice roll too.
Joe, where can they find you?
Head on over to thefantasyfootballcounselor.com, and also I have the largest presence in fantasy space. I'm the first vlogger on Instagram for fantasy sports, actually, since 2016. Fantasy at Fantasy Football Counselor, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, pretty much everywhere. Jeez.
All right. Hopefully we'll talk to you again as the fantasy football season gets much closer again. Joe Camus from thefantasyfootballcounselor.com. Joe, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.